This is the Adam Gold Show.
Chucky Brown, who might be walking his dog for all I know in Cary right now, but we're going to talk NBA playoffs with him. It seems like every time I see you, you're walking your dog at Prestonwood.
Yeah, I got two big dogs now. Thank you for having me, though.
I appreciate your time. We got to get them exercised, especially before it gets really hot. Speaking of which, what happened in the third quarter last night to the Boston Celtics?
Well, I just think that Miami came out. See, Miami, to me, Miami is like the Bernard Hopkins of basketball. And what I mean by that is, like, when you watch a Bernard Hopkins fight, it usually looks ugly, but he's going to win an ugly fight. So I think Miami just made the game ugly, a little more physical, and they buckled down and made things a little tougher for Boston. That was it.
Yeah, a lot of body blows. Wear you down. Now, Miami is one of those teams, and I was listening to Jay Williams on ESPN yesterday morning talk about it, about how the Heat are the most disrespected team, he said, in all of sports. And I'm not going to play the hyperbole here, but because they don't have the sexy scorer.
Right.
But that team is simply here to beat you, and they come at you defensively and from a lot of different ways. What is it about Butler as a lead, a lead star that kind of is indicative of what they want to do?
Well, I just think like Jay Will said, though, Miami, they're going to come at you. They're going to defend you. A lot of teams, you watch the NBA, a lot of teams don't really play defense like that. So Miami, you're not going to get a pretty game from them. Like I said, they're like Bernard Hopkins. They're going to make the game ugly because they're going to make the game physical. It's not going to be this running up and down 130 to 120 game. It's not going to be like that in regulation. You know what I'm saying? You get 130 points, you might have four overtimes with them. So it's just, Miami, I think Butler is just a tenacious guy. He's a tough guy. And I think those guys feed off of that. And you got a guy like P.J. Tucker, who's from around here.
Yep.
P.J. Tucker's always been a tough, gritty guy. You look at Bam Adebayo. What's the kid? Cal Lowry's not playing, but the kid that came over and replaced him, he's another tough, gritty guy. So Miami got tough, gritty guys that you're going to have to beat them. You know what I'm saying? They're not going to beat themselves. You're going to have to beat them. And if you do beat them, you might be worn out for the next series.
We could have a lot of that going on because we'll get to the West in a minute and talk about Luka Doncic and how that whole series will match up with the Golden State Warriors. Chucky Brown is joining us here. Is this more like Eric Spoelstra has developed into one of the best coaches in the NBA, but is this also sort of the have Pat Riley's thumbprints all over it with the way he coached in New York as in a hard-nosed, rough-and-tumble Knicks team?
Oh, all day, because Spoelstra's been there from the film room. So Spoelstra's been there a long time. So, and I think Riley has sort of groomed him to he's taken, what Riley has given him, and he's put his own spin on it. But I agree, man. I just telling my friend the other day, I think Eric Spoelstra is one of the best coaches in the league because he's the only one that, you see a lot of guys dribbling, going through their routine, 4-5 dribbles. He's the only guy I've seen running people at guys and not letting them get a rhythm. And that's what the problem was, why James Harden couldn't get off, because James Harden likes to take about 10 dribbles.
Yeah.
So you ain't taking them dribbles against Miami. They're going to jump you. So and that I think, like I said, Spoelstra is one of the better coaches in the NBA because he learned from a guy like Pat Riley.
Yeah, Riley gave him gave him time to develop as a coach too.
Right.
It would have been very easy after year one with LeBron down there when they did not win for Riley to either go back on the bench, which he did at one point. I think he did that to Stan Van Gundy. It would have been easy for him to do that because that was clearly a team built to win a title, but he let Spoelstra grow with it and he became one of the best coaches in the league. Real quick before we get to the West, Doc Rivers and the Philadelphia 76ers. Rivers is getting a lot of heat. I'm not really sure why. I think Philly's problem was, as it turned out, They were completely mismanaged from above Doc Rivers. They should have traded Ben Simmons before the season started, and then everything went away, and then Harden just isn't the same player. Am I crazy?
Nah, you're not crazy. I don't think Harden is the same player either. You know, Father Time catches us all. I think Harden is more of a second scorer now. He's not a lead scorer. You gotta run everything pretty much through Joel Embiid, I think. And I think they did try to do that, but you know, it's just a funny situation. And I don't think Doc Rivers is to blame for everything that has gone wrong in Philly.
Maybe he's to blame for leaving Joel Embiid on the court in a blowout game against.
Might be true.
I don't know. Like, guys like to play. Guys don't want to come off the court. So it's possible that Joel Embiid told Doc to get bent.
You got to save a player from himself sometime, and that might have been what Doc needed to do.
Somebody
from himself.
Somebody needs to be the adult in the room. Chucky Brown is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. All right, so whose assignment is it to slow down Luka Doncic for Golden State?
I think I start with Wiggins on him first. I might put Wiggins on him first, and we might have a few guys. I don't know if Klay doesn't seem to have that mobility, but I would try him. Klay, you know, he seems a little stiffer now since the injury.
Right.
But I would try Klay on him. Wiggins, I think I would try quite a few guys on him. To see what he does. I think you have some guys that can bother him. The only guy I wouldn't put on him is Curry. I wouldn't put Curry on him. But, you know, Draymond could get some. But, you know, Luka will have, you know, an assortment of guys trying to cover him. But I think I'd start with Wiggins on, because Wiggins is athletic. I'd tell him to stay down on the pump fake, because, you know, a lot of the athletic dudes, you show them a pump fake, they're ready to jump up and change the light bulb. So, you know, you just gotta tell them to stay down on the fakes.
Is this a situation where Golden State can maybe try to outscore Dallas?
Oh, yeah, that's right up Golden State's alley, because Dallas, like I said, Dallas is not a defensive juggernaut. You know what I'm saying? It's not like Miami's not gonna outscore you. They're not going to play like that. But, you know, this is a game where – and Golden State has some guys that can go for 30. You know, they have – what's the kid? I forget number
Jordan
three.
Jordan Poole.
I forget his name. Poole can get you 30. Klay can get you 30. Wiggins can still get you 30. You know, he's still a very good player. Curry can get you 30 or 40. You know what I'm saying? So they have guys that can put those numbers up. So this might be a game where, or a series where, we'll go ahead and we'll run up and down with you and outscore you. That could happen.
Who has to be the second guy for Dallas? Or does it have to be a guy, or because Luka is so good that maybe somewhat like Miami – that second guy can sort of rotate?
I think the second guy could rotate, but I do think that Brunson has to be there every night. And I think that the way that Dinwiddie finished game seven, Dinwiddie got to do that every night against Golden State. And then you got Luka. So I think those two guys are the ones that got to step up. I think Finney Smith, when he gets open, he's going to have to knock down some shots. He's going to have to probably go like, 6-for-10. Or something like that, or maybe 5-for-10 or something like that. But he's going to have to knock down his shot. But those Brunson and Dinwiddie are the two guys that they're going to have to show up every night.
Who do you compare? I mean, I know I've heard comparisons to Larry Bird. We're talking with Chucky Brown, Wolfpack legend, longtime NBA forward. Who do you compare Luka Doncic to?
Well, I'll tell you, it's not going to be Larry Bird. Larry Bird was 6'10". So he ain't 6'10". So we'll take that one off the table. He got some Larry Bird style moves, like the little step back jumper. I'm trying to think who I would compare him to. Oh man, Luka might, because he kind of moves at his own pace, really slow, and like. But game seven though, he played with a little more fire. You know, he's playing a little quicker. I mean, I really don't know who his comparison is. I wouldn't say Bird though. He got some Bird like stuff. But Bird being 6'10", I think it's a little different. You know, so I think it's a little different. I really don't have a compare. I got to think of one.
All right.
I'll text you on that one.
All right, good. Maybe you can compare him to another fighter, just like the Miami Heat or the it's like Bernard Hopkins.
Okay, I'll say he's more like a because he's more like a Winky Wright. I call him Winky Wright. I call him Winky Wright. Yeah, Luka Doncic is Winky Wright.
Outstanding stuff from Chucky Brown. Like, he likes the trash talk. Did you play with somebody who trash talk got them going?
Let me think. Like, I see, most of the guys that I played with, it was like, like somebody would start something. I'd say, like, Larry Nance was like that. If somebody got to talking, he would get going, but he wouldn't say anything. I'm trying to think of guys that might talk. Dream would say a little something back to you. He would say a little something back.
Olajuwon?
Yeah. He would say something back. It had a little accent on it, but he'd give it back to you.
He was also very polite whenever he was spoken to. He's very polite. He would say sir, and then just do one of his moves on you.
Yeah, he would talk a little trash though. Trying to think somebody that would just get going though and talk back. Vernon Maxwell, without Vernon. Yeah, but Vernon was started though. He was started.
Vernon Maxwell is legendary.
The guy that didn't start it. Yeah. Yeah.
Vernon Maxwell. I don't know if you ever caught the Bomani Jones did a podcast with Vernon Maxwell on it, and it was one of the great conversations I've ever heard.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. You should go check do a little Google search for Bomani's podcast with Vernon Maxwell. He's just telling stories about all sorts of things that he did, none of which you would advise anybody to do.
Right. I know. I already know.
Zero. All right. So who's going to win these two series, Chucky?
I'm going with Miami, and I'm Miami Golden State.
Miami Golden State, that would be a contrast when we got to the NBA Finals. I appreciate your time. Go walk the dogs. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, thank you, man. Appreciate you.
You got it. Chucky Brown, former Wolfpack legend. Always a Wolfpack legend. You're not former. You're always a Wolfpack legend. All right, when we come back, into the disrespect machine to kind of decipher who's paying attention. Next. I don't like to play the they never give us any respect card. I think it's in general kind of a tired trope. And in most cases, I will defend the national media. But as we get into the playoffs, as we got into the playoffs, it was clear to me who pays attention to the Hurricanes record and box scores. And who pays attention to the Hurricanes? The overwhelming number of people who picked round one that I heard all said, Canes without Freddie Anderson, not going to beat Boston. Mm-hmm. Never mind that Boston had every bit the question mark in goal as Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
Every bit. Linus Ullmark. I was stunned that Linus Ullmark started game two after game one. He wasn't good in game one. And he had a terrible history in his career against the Hurricanes. And he had never played in a playoff game before. I know he was very good down the stretch for the Bruins. Every time I watched the Bruins play, Jeremy Swayman was, I thought, pretty good in goal. And I think Jeremy Swayman is more their future than Linus Ullmark was. And as it turned out, Swayman was their better goaltender and gave them a chance. But it was all about, no Freddie Anderson, therefore, blah, blah, blah. Never mind that in the last month and a half of the season, Antti Raanta's numbers were better than Freddie Anderson's. Mm-hmm. Now, Anderson had established himself as the guy, so I get it. But if you were paying attention, Raanta had played really well. The only question was whether or not Antti Raanta would be healthy. Because he is made of paper.
Yeah.
So they have managed to keep him upright, and he has been very good. Now comes the real disrespect. ESPN.com just did their through round one Conn Smythe Trophy leaders. And, as you could expect, Connor McDavid, who was awesome in their series.
Yeah.
Nathan MacKinnon, Cale Makar, awesome in Colorado's sweep over Nashville. Jacob Markstrom for Calgary. Okay. Carter Verhaeghe, Florida. Yes. Carter Verhaeghe was ridiculous in their win over the Washington Capitals. Then there's like the next tier. Alexander Barkov, Adam Fox, Mika Zibanejad, Claude Giroux, Johnny Gaudreau for the Flames, Hedman, Kucherov for the Lightning, not even Andrei Vasilevsky, who was not amazing in the series against Tampa, or rather against Toronto. He was really good when he needed to be. Darcy Kuemper, Colorado, Ryan O'Reilly, St. Louis, Antti Raanta.
Hey.
Nice.
Know that guy.
I think it's cool to have Carolina's third best player listed.
Yes.
If you watch the series and didn't realize that Jacob Slavin was the best player on skates, then I don't know what you were watching. And this is what we deal with Slavin. Even through the series from the broadcaster doing the game, Steve Levy, Jacob Slavin, one of the most underrated defensive defensemen in the league. No. A, if you keep getting mentioned as underrated, you're not.
Mm-hmm.
And two, we don't need the defensive part. It's not necessarily his job description to compile a lot of points.
Mm-hmm.
There is more for Jacob Slavin to provide offensively. And it's sort of like, I'll use an Ichiro example. Remember Ichiro?
Oh, yeah.
Right? He was a pretty good hitter.
Great hitter.
Right? Oh, but he couldn't hit home runs, except when he wanted to. When he wanted to hit a home run, he could give you a home run.
The stories of him during batting practice just going yard.
Right?
Just every single time he wanted to.
If when he needed to dial something up, he could do it.
Mm-hmm.
When Jacob Slavin needs to provide offense, he can. He led Carolina in scoring in the first round. Like, the perfect example, or the perfect, you know, entry into recognizing the brilliance of Jacob Slavin is to go, oh, wait, he just provided offense. This is it. He was miles better than everybody else in the series, and Carolina got good performances out of Jordan Staal, out of Antti Raanta, out of Tony DeAngelo, out of Vincent Trocheck, who had a very good series. Look, nobody played really all that well in Boston. If you can't recognize Slavin's ability, you're just not watching the game. And these guys should know better. But that's what we're dealing with, right? Mm-hmm. It's, we look at Carolina's record, third best in the league. We look at Carolina's metrics, which are across the board among the best in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go, well, it must be this guy or this guy. Like, ESPN did a top 50 players in the playoffs going in. Sebastian Aho was 10th. And we talked about how surprising that was.
Yeah.
Jacob Slavin, not on the list,
mm-hmm.
Not among the top 50 players going into the playoffs. He's among the top 50. He's among the top 15. He's that good. So I saw, and I don't have the numbers in front of me because I should, but I apologize. So somebody from Boston, one of the members of the media who went back and watched all the games, compiled numbers that are similar to what I'm about to tell you. There were 15 opportunities for Boston to try to enter the zone against Jacob Slavin. And I think this was on the power play.
Okay.
Because I'm sure there were more than 15 against Slavin over the course of a series. I think it was in the power play. 7 times they just dumped the puck in. 4 times he just took the puck.
Okay.
Like, they could not get the puck past Jacob Slavin. And sometimes, by the way, he's a plus 35 this year, all that. Sometimes, the biggest compliment you can play or pay a player, like a cornerback, is we're not even throwing to your side.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't get interceptions. We're not even throwing there. We're going to go over here because you are a problem. They don't even try Jacob. It doesn't make any sense. Now, I mean, we'll see what happens this series against the Rangers, but Slavin is simply an elite NHL defenseman. Not defensive defenseman, an elite NHL defenseman, and he deserves better from the network that carries the games.
This is the Adam Gold Show.